And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
How do I sound now? I sound okay?
Would you ask Pop that question?
Let's do it.
Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Okay, here we go.
And it is another edition of Hoops Adjacent on the Athletic NBA Show. David Aldridge here in D.C. I can't say people are upset about Rui Hachimura being traded. It's just another deck chair off another Titanic as they continue to go around in circles. All good. Out in the Bay, our man Marcus Thompson. Marcus, your boys look not good the other day. Blew a big lead at home. What's up? What's up?
What you mean? The boys won. They beat the Cowboys. What are you talking about?
Damn. Just abandon the four-time championship. I'm out.
What, did I miss something? I don't know. All I know is Brock Purdy right now. That's all I know.
Are you going to Philly?
Yes, I'm going to Philly. And I was very thrilled to know it will not be freezing cold.
It won't be freezing cold. It's going to be kind of mild this weekend.
I don't know what's happening with these guys. It feels like they can't put together their best five-game stretch came without Steph.
I know,
without Wiggins. Like, so how crazy is that? I have no idea what's going on with this team. It's
weird. It's very weird. They need.
I'm pausing because you know they're going to do it. They're going to put it together like 10 in a row. We're going to look like idiots, right? This is what they're going to do.
They don't need to. They need to make a trade, but I don't think they need to make a big trade. You know what I'm saying? Like, they probably can't make a big trade even if they wanted to.
They can't. They needed Rui. That's who they should have got.
You know, Rui could actually help them because.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, he
could. Well, I just say you don't play no defense now. Just get that straight.
He rebounds and makes some shots.
He does rebound. He makes shots. Yes. So, Marcus, I got to tell you the story. I'm going to bring our guest on now. When I first started at ESPN, 1996, I ain't no jack S about TV. You know what I'm saying? First show I did at ESPN was the NBA Today. The precursor to that show Malik is doing now. We did that show 30 years ago. And my man that walked me through is Mark Jones, who's with us right now and still at Espen.
Wow.
Mark, what's up, boy?
Hey, you're talking about the golden era of television as far as I'm concerned. That was like the Roman age, man, before internet. And we used to go and tape that show on Monday and Tuesday afternoons, and it would air, David. And man, that was some of the most fun I've ever had.
It was great. It was great. You, me, and Dr. Jack. The late, great Dr. Jack.
I got an even better one for you, D.A.
What you got?
Me, young beat writer. Maybe, 2012, maybe 2010.
Yeah.
I make my first trip to – no, it had to be 2012, 13, because Steph was becoming – you know, he was like a little bit of a star. Make my first trip to Toronto. I'm juiced, right? I'm out here. Like, hey, let's go. Get a call. Like, hey, man, come. We want you on a TV show. Oh, you want me on a TV show? My first TV show. I get to the TV show, hanging, you know, sitting in a little green room. And I'm like, it's all brand new to me. I have no idea what's happening. Some lady come ask me to do, you know, some makeup. I was like, no, I'm good. Come again. Hey, you come to do your makeup. I was like, no, I don't need no makeup. What you talking about? And the one who set it up came and gave me a little talk, like, hey, man, you need some makeup. And guess who it was? Mark's brother, Paul Jones.
Sure.
He had to put me up on game. I was like, man, I ain't wearing no makeup on TV. He's like, calm down, young man. Calm down. Let me show you how this goes.
You got to get rid of the shine, Mark. He's got to get rid
of the shine. Just put some anti-shine on my forehead.
Come here, like, hey, man, come in here trying to put makeup on me. What you talking about? Paul's like, hey, nah, this is what we do. And he's like, yeah, I got my little. I'm like, okay.
That's outstanding. That is outstanding, man.
Paul and put me up on game. That's my guy, man.
There you go. They've been doing it for a minute. Mark, so here's the thing, man. I want to ask you about this. I've been meaning to ask you. We haven't been able to be in touch the last minute or two. You have so much on your plate. You do the NBA for ESPN.
Bruh, I was gonna
you do college football
thing.
For ESPN. You can You can, like, you got a full plate, bro.
And he got time to play golf.
And he got time to play golf. You know,
when my wife and I were in Miami, like, we split the year between Miami and Sacramento.
Right.
And I don't golf, Marcus, David. I'm at the beach. We go to the beach, hang out, come home, and watch Blackish and all the, you know.
Right.
Abbott Elementary, all the shows. But, yeah, busy. Hey, listen. My mom and dad, I'm part Jamaican, so I got four jobs.
Well, hey, mom.
You just stay busy.
Of course.
But yeah, man, between college football and ESPN NBA and the Sacramento Kings, do about 50 or so games for them. This year it's going to be playoffs, it looks like, and about 45 NBA games and about 18, 19 college football. Keeps me on the road, though, man. But you know what? It's fun, man. You know, it'll never be as much fun as it was back in the day, D.A., doing the NBA when, you know, there was a lot less noise out there. And, you know, no, there were a lot of voices and a lot of static, but it was a little bit more pure. But it's still fun, man. I love the NBA. And it's a great league, got great people. You know, my NBA family are some of the dearest people I hold close to me. And, you know, doing the games is the gravy for me. You know, I'm a basketball junkie. You know, I like yesterday had a game against Memphis here in Sacramento. Went to practice in the morning, you know, listened to the coaches go through the scout, offense, defense, everything in between. Mike Brown gives me great access to the squad. He's done a great job this year. And I'm a basketball junkie, man. I'm just a geek. So yeah. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. You know, I take my decompression time after the NBA finals and I just shut it down for a while.
What was it about Sacramento when it came to you and said, hey, would you like to do these games? Because, I mean, that's local. And it's a whole different broadcast, right? I mean, it's just a whole different broadcast than the national one. What appealed to you about that?
You know what, David? I've always had in the back of my mind a thought about what it would be like to be a local guy and to be a little bit more invested in one team as opposed to, you know, when you're working for ESPN, the network, it's you're doing two teams. There's no real loyalty or ties. You do the game and you always win. It's a little bit different. So I thought if the opportunity ever came up, I would take a serious look at it. So when they came to me and wanted to talk about the job, I was open to it. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the fact that I remember, I think it was 2017, 2018, when the tragic events up here in Sacramento with Stephon Clark, when he was shot in his own backyard by local police. He was holding a phone. They thought it was a gun. And that night, I remember the community was really upset, and they went up to the doors of Golden One Center, and I'll never forget Vivek Ranadive, the owner, taking the microphone that night. I was watching it on NBA TV, and I saw the highlights that night, and he spoke to the community from the heart, and it was so organic. You couldn't fake it. I mean, he talked about healing, and I thought, wow, if I ever get an opportunity to be around him or work for him, that'd be something I'd look at. So lo and behold, you know, they came to me with an offer to do the games. And, you know, it's been a blast. Plus, my daughter, who almost went to your alma mater,
Dan, almost
American University.
Almost.
She's just down the highway, a sophomore in the women's basketball team at San Jose State, about an hour and a half away. So it all worked out well. And I've been enjoying myself these last 3 years.
Now, you said, you know, as a national broadcaster, you win every game. What was it like when you got to the Kings and that wasn't the case? You were actually taking L's, like, when you first got there. Like, how different was that?
It was very different. And, you know, in the moments of optimism for me, Marcus, where, you know, under Luke Walton, they'd have a nice stretch of games and perform pretty well, I would be like, oh, this is it. And then, like, people around me are like, yo, pump the brakes, man.
Especially Kings fans, right? They're like, dude, relax.
Come on,
pump
man.
The brakes, man. You just got here, Mark Jones. You don't know yet. It's been 16 long years. I'm like, oh, wow, really? And they hung in there, and I guess this is their reward this year. But initially, yeah, it was a little bit of a jolt to feel the losses weighing a little bit more heavily. And it felt a little bit more personal because, you know, you would go to Luke Walton after games and he was coach at the time, and you would go to De'Aaron Fox and you would feel their emotional discontent and how upset they were not being able to win. And It's so much different now. So that took a while. And, you know, you always, regardless of that, Marcus and David, you're always trying to tell positive stories, tell stories of hope with the players, whether it's the growth of De'Aaron Fox, despite the losing, or, you know, the maturity of Davion Mitchell, despite the losing. You look for certain things to give hope to the audience, and I always enjoy doing that.
I am. I mean, there's so many good stories to talk about with the Kings this year, but I want to start it with Fox, as you mentioned, because he's the guy, and Marcus knows Mike Brown very well. Just that was the one I was like, I'm not sure Mike Brown could reach this kid. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, I know what Mike's non-negotiables are. They did not seem to be De'Aaron's non-negotiables, you know.
And then he came from Steph, right? Like,
right. You know what I'm saying? And so I was like, I'm not sure this is going to work, but it seems like it's working pretty good.
It's been awesome. And, you know, guys, I related to, you know, Mike saw him play as a high schooler at the NBA All-Top 100 camp. And even said back then he thought De'Aaron was going to be an elite player in the NBA, especially having a chance to be an elite player at the defensive end of the floor, because everybody knew he could score once he got to Kentucky. But I'll tell you this story. We had a preseason game in Los Angeles against the Lakers. Mm-hmm. And it was either the first or second preseason game. And Russell Westbrook came out, scored two quick, easy buckets. And Mike Brown called one of those Greg Popovich timeouts.
You know, like 18 seconds into the game.
Yeah, 18 seconds, like reset button, mulligan. And he really got into De'Aaron. Like, he got into him, man. He was in his stuff. And De'Aaron responded. And since that moment, you know, De'Aaron has even said, Mike has coached me extremely hard, and I love it. And, you know, it's the Tim Duncan, Greg Popovich dynamic where you coach your best player extremely hard.
Sure.
Everyone else falls in line. And I tell you what, De'Aaron has really found his voice. He's evolved into a very good leader now. And, you know, he's developed we've seen a little bit more of a competitive edge out of him where, you know, he'll take it upon himself to shut somebody's water down at defensive end. We had a game against Miami earlier this year, and Tyler Hero was on a heater. And De'Aaron went to Mike and said, hey, I got him the last 5 minutes of the game. He shut his water off, and the Kings beat Miami. So, you know, there's a great thing happening between Mike Brown and De'Aaron Fox right now. And I would have to say Fox is a Western Conference All-Star when you look at Sacramento's winning record, too.
Mm-hmm. Is this even a debate, you think? Like, this dude is he's an All-Star.
Some people sleep, Marcus. You know some people sleep.
Nah, his clutch numbers are crazy. Like, what he does in the fourth quarter is insane. Mm-hmm. And like you said, he has been defending. I wonder, like, you were there before we saw this, right? And I was one of the people who were shocked that they chose De'Aaron over Tyrese. I was like, you traded the wrong one. Like, take the cheaper one, right? Like, what is cheaper anyway?
Right.
Is this something that was brewing and we just didn't see it because we're not paying that close of attention? Or has there been a significant shift in how De'Aaron approaches the game or how he thinks about the game?
I think this was a great confluence of a coach, a system, and a player fitting together. Looking back on it, and, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, man. Had Tyrese Halliburton been here, Mike might have been able to run what he's running right now with Tyrese as well. It's kind of an equal opportunity offense with a lot of ball movement popping, but I don't know if it pops as much as it does without Sabonis.
Right.
But, you know, there was a lot of chatter about maybe De'Aaron wanted to have the ball in his hands a little bit more, and with Tyrese there, that he was a little discontent about sharing those ball handling duties. I don't buy that. I think if guys want to win, they'll do whatever it takes to win. And we're seeing it this year because De'Aaron's percentage of unassisted baskets have gone down because he has the ball in his hands less. You know, Sabonis has got about 6 assists a game and the ball moves a lot. So he's not padding it as much as he usually does. So, you know, I think I'm a little bit kind of surprised that it's worked this well because, you know, like Mike comes from, you guys know Mike comes from Golden State. And I think we've all at one point wondered, how come more teams don't play like Golden State? Like, we know you don't have Steph, you don't have Clay, you don't have Draymond, but you can try and replicate that system with different pieces. And I think that's what you're seeing in Sacramento right now.
Well, that five-man lineup is just insane. It's the Fox, Herter, Barnes, Murray, and Sabonis. I mean, they're often – they played 500 – I mean, it's a large sample size.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're – Marcus, they're blowing people away. It's 121 or something like that is their offensive rating.
Yes.
And their net is 8.7. It's insane it's so how good explosive. That five-man is.
It's, you know what's crazy is they don't defend, like, especially
no,
when
that's
they're
what
not
it
locking
is.
Down. They defend by putting the pressure on you. Like, yo, you got to get 120.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
For a lot of teams, that's enough defense right there. Like, you walk into Sacramento, it's like – man, how are we getting 120 tonight?
Right, like, right. Minimum. Like, just to be even, right?
You saw what happened with Memphis, right? Like, they spent two quarters messing around and got 130.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, and they're just so potent. They're so potent offensively that it becomes defense of its own. Like, not, but they play enough because it's Mike Brown. It's not like Nelly Ball. Where it was like, right, ball, right, you only have to threat, like,
right.
Like, all right, can you get 140? But we ain't gonna do nothing to stop you. They'll at least do a little something to stop you. But it's just so much pressure. Like, it's like, oh, how do we match this? But by the way, I did want to ask you about another. We got to talk about Mike Brown. But I want to ask you about this random Kentucky guy. We were on the Kentucky guy before. Right. What the hell is going on with Trey Lyles?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, this might be a more significant story than like coming out of Kentucky. I thought Trey Lyles was gonna be the best one out of the bunch. I definitely thought he was better than Cauley Stiles. Like Trey Lyles, like he was the perfect modern NBA big. And like 7 years later, he looks like it. Like out of nowhere, this dude is really good. What is that about?
What a steal, man! Like you can't even we. People around here have a hard time remembering what we gave up to get him, but we're just glad he's here. You know, it's kind of like the Herter deal. But Trey, he really worked on his body in the offseason, man. Like, he told me some at the hotel on a road trip recently. He told me he lost about, like, 25 pounds between last year and this year and worked out all summer with Chris Johnson in Los Angeles and really fine-tuned his game. But he's been the perfect person off the bench here in Sacramento. You know, had a 21-point game, I think it was last night against Memphis. And a lot of times Mike will downsize and go small. He's played a little bit of five sometimes because even now, like with Metu out for a little bit, Trey Lyles will play a little five or, you know, stretch the floor as a four and has done well defensively well enough to stay on the floor. Mike does have, even though Kings are ranked, what, I think it's 23rd or 24th this morning in the defensive rating.
Yeah.
Even though that's the number, he still demands certain things from guys. It may not look like it, but Trey has answered the bell, man. Like, I remember there was a game earlier this year when Trey blew a defensive assignment. Mike called one of his timeouts, and like he's done with Terrence Davis this year, he'll take him out onto the court during a timeout and show him where the rotation should be on the back end of the defense. I mean, and he's adjusted, man. He's been a great find. And, yeah, he's like you say, Marcus, that dude's talented, man. He is low-key very talented, you know, and a great stretch four for the system that the Kings run.
He cooked Jaren Jackson last night.
Yeah, he sure did. It's funny because Mike told me a funny story about how when they had their meetings at training camp, he sat Trey down. He said, hey, man, he goes, I got to tell you the truth. When we coached against you, we knew you wouldn't shoot, even though we knew you were a good shooter, even though we knew you had a lot of talent. But we were like, nah, don't close out on him. He ain't going to shoot it. You go, Mike told him, if you don't shoot that ball, you're going to sit down beside me.
Yeah.
And we see the results now.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
They are, I mean, it's been phenomenal because this is the expectations, as you know, I mean, the expectations were not this, certainly. And I think right. You mentioned the Herter trade. I think that was,
man,
robbery, you know, and I know Atlanta had their own reasons for doing it that right. Didn't have anything to do with basketball, but y'all were the beneficiaries of it.
No, because the feds are going to be coming for Monty soon. Like that,
because Red Panda can get it in, man. That dude, that dude can, man. I mean, I just think he just creates so much havoc from a floor balance standpoint. I mean, you really, like, now who do you load up on? Like, I don't know. Like, you can't. And the thing that's interesting is that, you know, Keegan Murray, who I thought was a great pick, right? Like, a great pick, hasn't had to be a lot high lottery pick for them. He can just kind of get in where he fits in.
Yeah, he's been great. And, you know, going back to Herter, you know, his deal in Atlanta was such that he's just running to the corners and waiting to get a pass from Trey after a ball screen if it happens.
Waiting.
Hey, we don't, you know, catch a grenade with 2 seconds to go on the shot clock and boom, right? But he's been able to show what he can do in Sacramento. And, man, people are acting crazy around here, surprised by all that he can do off the dribble at times. So, you know, he's shown a lot. And Keegan Murray, man, like, going back to Summer League when he'd hit, I know it's only Summer League, but, you know, he was Summer League All-Star and showed right then and there that I'll say this, I don't want to get in trouble, but in terms of his disposition and his temperament, he gives you Tim Duncan vibes. Like, he'll hit a game-winning shot and he'll be like this. He'll screw up a play, he'll be the same way. Like, you don't see any emotion off that dude, but he's solid, man. Like, from a great family, skilled, 41% on his threes. And Mike challenged him about a week and a half ago. Actually, he was going back to Thanksgiving to rebound and be more active. And the kid's really responded, man. He's going to be a really good player for a guy who, you know, there's a lot of conversation about, hey, should they go with Ivy or should they go with Murray? And, you know, I think both teams made the right choice.
Mm-hmm. Now we all know Mike Brown is one guy. He's been around enough blocks that he has fully understood how to get the best out of what he wants out of life, right? He will be perfectly fine. He was perfectly fine as a number one assistant on a championship team, getting paid by like nine teams, right? Like, I was surprised that he took the Sacramento job, but it seems like he couldn't be more perfect. What do you think it is about this Kings job that fits him? Is it the absence of the LeBron type figure that he's had to deal with before, the Kobe? Like, what makes this click for him in a way that we might have thought it wouldn't have clicked for him before?
Yeah, I think Mike has really evolved in the 6 years that he's been with Golden State as a coach, and the way he sees and perceives the game and some of the personal dynamics, you know. And like you said, man, there's no real alpha, soon to be Hall of Famer on this roster. So he's got kind of more of a blank slate to work with. And it's been a confluence of great circumstances, man. He's been very, very, and we all know Mike, man. Mike is a dude that still irons his own shirts, you know, presses his own shirts before games, right?
Right.
Details. And
Mike, the only coach wearing Gucci shoes on the Warriors bench.
Hey. he's with the Vans now. But he's very exacting with these guys and very demanding. Like I said, I mentioned he's called probably a couple dozen of those Popovich timeouts and, you know, hit the guys with details. And the great thing I love about Mike with this team is he's set the expectation, right? Like in practices, shoot arounds, he'll blow the whistle, stop a drill and say, hey, guys, that's what's going to get us beat in the first round if we let it happen. Hey, guys, we can't do this or else we'll be out of the playoffs real early. He's already made that leap mentally with this team and franchise and the players that it's going to happen. So I think there's power in that. He's virtually speaking his truth into power. And he's used a very heavy hand on Sabonis and Fox with their leadership. And, you know, he'll look at their numbers and say, hey, guys, I need even more from you.
Yeah.
So I think that Mike has been very hard but understanding. And, you know, we know Mike, he's a real personable guy. And he'll put his arm around people, too, after getting his point across. So I think he's the coach of the year right now. I'm a little biased. I've had a really up-close look at him. But when you look at what he's done and the history of this franchise, and this is sustainable. And I think that, you know, the growth area now for this squad is going to be defense. You know, if they can get up to – we remember what Boston did last year, using that as a comp. Boston went from all-star break right around 15th in defensive rating. They ended up first. They passed Golden State. I don't know if Sacramento can make that kind of quantum leap, but I think they can get, even if they get up into like
top half, right? Yeah. I mean, that would be historic for them. They haven't done it in 20 years.
There'll be a parade down J Street right
here. You know what I mean? Like, literally, they haven't been top half in defensive rating in 20 years. That's unbelievable.
But guys, like, you look at today's NBA, are we overrating defense? I used to think defense mattered, man. There's only been, I think, two teams that finish outside the top 10 in defensive rating and won it in the last, like, 20 years.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
One of them was the Warriors, right? Did they finish like 11, though?
They finished 11. Yeah. And then it was one of the Laker teams finished outside.
Yeah, I think it was the 02-01 Laker
team. But to your point, Marcus, that was a Laker team that had like Shaq and Kobe. You know, like they had insane offense. They didn't need it. You know, like
last month. Yeah. That's right. But I think that's what Sacramento's got. Like, I mean, they've just unlocked so many like of the weapons. Like, not, maybe it's more of a maximize, right? Like, if you look at Herter, like, he's never shot this well. His twos are way up. Like, he's like 60% from two. He didn't get twos before. Like, but there's something about how this offense runs where everybody is just kind of maximizing that sense. It's tough. Like, I don't know what's the most games they've lost. I watch this team. You can't just stay cold for that long. They're going to get 130 at some point just by virtue of they just have so many weapons. Like they can't have a 7-game losing streak, Mark. They score too much.
Yeah, the last 2 years there have been two distinct 7-game losing streaks. You're right, Marcus, and I just don't see it this year. This team's got too many weapons, man. And you know, there's the next man up mentality is a real thing here, man. We saw it from Trey Lyles last night. We've seen Terrence Davis have a 31-point game. We've seen guys come off the bench. Malik Monk has done special things this year. I mean, and, you know, one guy we haven't mentioned, Monty McNair, did a really nice job revamping this roster. You know, like we said, the Herter deal was an outstanding steal. And, you know, it's just really clicking right now. And they've been H-E-A-L-T-H-Y. You know, there's no
– I don't want to be careful. Be careful, Mark. They call that luck.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So exactly. Lucky. Is this team like to me? The question becomes like, I think they're going to end up top four seed. They'll be hosting the first round of the playoff series. Like, but when it comes to playoffs, right? When you're talking about defense, like to me, that's where it starts getting real. The game slows down. Now matchups matter. Teams can attack you. How do you think they hold up in that situation? And it sounds like Mike Brown is already preparing him for that. Because, you know, they're going to come after Herter, right? They're going to get Sabonis out on the perimeter pick and roll. Like, they're going to do these things to them. Like, how prepared are they for that? And is that going to be a tough sledding when they get there?
Yeah, I think it will. And I think, like you said, Mike's got one eye on what's happening down the road defensively. Points in the paint and paint protection, rim protection isn't one of the strengths of Sacramento. And, you know, like you said, there's going to be teams that call up Herter for a switch. But, you know, the point of attack defense has been, you know, I go back to De'Aaron Fox. I mean, he keys that whole thing, man. And they can bring Davion Mitchell, a.k.a. Mr. Off-Night, off the bench and get some things done defensively, too.
You got to get him an off-white deal. I mean, this is perfect, right? Off-Night and off-white. Like, go get Davion an off-white deal.
I know, man. He's such a great kid, too, man. He loves playing defense, man. Throws his hips out over screens. I swear on one sequence in a game last week, looked like there were five of them on the floor, all covering someone else on the other team. But, you know, I think after All-Star break, we're going to see a little bit of an uptick in some of the defensive metrics and their improvement overall, because even though they're rated, you know, I think it was 24 we said earlier, if you look at the number of contested shots, it's actually high. It's just that teams, for whatever reason, seem to be making a bunch of, against us at times. So, you know, there's some markers that indicate that they're actually playing a little bit better defensively than they are. But I don't think they can advance in the playoffs past the first round. It's a 50-50 proposition if they're playing the defense that they're playing right now. But, they got guys. I mean, Sabonis isn't a great rim protector, but some of the numbers say he is, you know.
Not bad. He's actually he's not as bad as people might. He's like Porzingis to me. Like, he's actually, if you look at his numbers, they're not that bad, actually. So, and it's fun. I have to ask you this because I'm just fascinated by it because of the juxtaposition with the Wizards, because I think Sacramento and the Wizards are the same franchise and have been for a very long time. And the kind of psychic baggage that losing creates over a very long time. It's real, and it was the same at Golden State, Marcus. You know that.
Right.
It's so hard to get past that. It's so hard to evolve beyond that. And so I always think like things like light the beam, which if you're looking at it from 30,000 feet, you might say that's corny. Come on, stop it. That matters to a team, to a franchise that ain't won shit for 30 years. That stuff matters. It's important.
Anywhere you can find, hey, man, hope lives here in Sacramento.
Yes.
Right now. Anything you can hang your head on until you get into the playoffs is going to be a good thing. I'm with you on that. I mean, they're talking about juicing up the wattage on the beam too. You know,
I mean, also, this is a franchise that brought cowbells to a game, so I think we're stepping up the bar with
we had Mike Bibby ring the cowbell last night.
Loved it. Dude, that was my favorite place to go to for a minute there when Webb was there, because that was loud in there,
Jackson,
man.
Not Phil Jackson.
I know. That's why I liked it, because Phil was annoyed. But
it's a great fandom though, man. Like I. you know, I'll walk up to the dry cleaners or to the Safeway, the grocery store, and people always want to stop and talk about Sacramento Kings basketball, man. And I remember a game last year, guys, there was a game against Chicago Bulls, okay? Katie Christensen and I are calling the game. It's late March. We're already well out of the play-in tournament scenario. And I stand up during the timeout, and I look around. It's like 17,000 people in the gym, in the building, in a meaningless game against the Chicago Bulls. I'm like, what are these people doing here? Like, if this was Miami or somewhere, the building would be cavernous. It'd be empty, you know?
Right, right.
That's how much they love
you
this game.
You know what? I think people don't know this if you're not from around here. Like, first off, Northern California is basketball obsessed. Mm, and you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Warriors, 2013, 20. Mm-hmm. Like, once you see that they're good a little bit, like, just the energy in the crowd, like, that crowd goes absolutely nuts. When they made 11 of 12 threes in the first quarter, like, it was like a party. It's that same vibe. Like, it's that same kind of something's brewing here, and people just go absolutely crazy for it. That's why I'm curious. Like, who do you – D.A., what do you think is the best matchup? I'm hoping for Warriors –
That would be so much fun. Are you kidding me?
It would be incredible. It would be incredible. But look, the Kings, Lakers wouldn't be bad. Kings, Suns wouldn't be bad.
No.
Kings, Clippers wouldn't be bad. Like,
right. Any of them would be fine.
Especially Kings Warriors.
Yeah, I-5 would be ridiculous.
I don't know if Vivek's heart could handle that. I don't know. Hey, I don't know either way. I don't think he can handle the outcome.
Hey, you know, 50 Cent is our celebrity, our courtside celebrity now, right?
So, is that right?
Yeah. 50 like to be.
So, we took it to another level up here, man. 50's up at the club now, so
watch it.
We got a whole new vibe going now. So he's been at a bunch of the games this year and has some business dealings with Vivek, and a lot of excitement at Golden 1 Center, man. I mean, it's popping. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, the fact that we're even discussing them being, how can they get out of the first round is just like, that's such a sea change. It's crazy. What is the next step for them? You know, franchise wise, they've got decisions to make in the front office. I know that, but how did it, like you said, this is sustainable, and I agree with you with the group that they have, but to get to that Warriors level, frankly, that next level where you're really on the short list for competing, how do they plan to kind of continue to improve the roster to get to that point?
Wow. I don't think anything's going to happen. Any kind of seismic moves coming up at the trade deadline. I know there's a lot of talk surrounding Harrison Barnes because Harrison's got an expiring deal, and every year around this time, his name seems to pop up for the last two or three years. But, you know, I've spoken to some people there, and they don't plan on moving. Not unless Jason Tatum comes available.
I love HB. Is a winner, man.
But you don't need HB in the playoffs. You're good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because at some point, they're going to go left at some point. It's just the way of the world in the playoffs. And Harrison is that stabilizing vet who's been there. He's, the only guy with any kind of real championship pedigree in there. And we all know how he comports and carries himself. So I don't think, in terms of roster improvement moving forward this year, I don't think there's anything big on the horizon. I think they're probably, if anything, going to do something around the edges, maybe get another wing defender, with a little bit of length to improve some of the perimeter defense and wing defense. But outside of that, they're just going to ride with what they have. I mean, Sabonis has been to the playoffs before, two-time All-Star. It'll be Fox's first playoffs. And listen, if he can replicate what he's done in the regular season, even just a little bit in the playoffs in terms of clutch scoring last 5 minutes, making big shots, then they got a puncher's chance, and HB part of the mix too. So there's still a lot of growth in this team as well as they're playing. I think that's the interesting thing. I think there's still a lot of growth because Harrison Barnes is just now starting to play his best basketball. His first 2 months, first 2.5 months were not vintage Harrison, but when the calendar flipped over to 2023, he's averaging about 22 a game and shooting lights out over 40% from downtown. So there's upside there.
I mean, we've seen this too, though, right? They'll learn what they need in the playoffs. Like, you got to go through it. Yeah, like, we saw Memphis the same way. We saw the Warrior. Like, you might have to lose. You got to take a tough loss to understand. Like, you got to lose. Like, the Warriors lost to the Clippers. I know it seemed like eons ago, but they they lost here. I feel like once they go through it, they'll be able to see, like, all right, here's what we got. The interesting thing is, like, you're right. If Fox is that dude, that contract that once felt like an anchor is a discount.
Right. Exactly.
Like it becomes
just wait for 3 years. Exactly.
That's, which is insane. Like,
yeah, I think Sabonis has another year left after this year. So that'll be an interesting scenario to, you know, kind of keep that core together. And, you know, first things first, shoot, they got to re-sign Monty McNair, the general manager.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And I think he's kind of made the case, right?
Yeah. So, second thing is the Wizards clearly need to go get Mark Jones to do play-by-play because when he
does
play-by-play in the T-Turner.
Don't hate on my guy, Chris Miller. It's not his fault.
You're going to be that guy. He's going to be going jump-starting franchises, huh? Just going around the league.
I knew I wasn't the bad luck charm for the first 2 years, right?
Right. Oh, wait. So Smeltz says he wants to play one of your calls, Jonesy. Hold on. Play the call. Light the beam.
That's the second one he's had like that, Katie.
He's just acting.
Oh, Herter put them on a flight like an IG model. Wow.
Go on, that's pretty good. Oh, that's pretty good. Go on, that's funny.
No, that's great. You had one of my favorites. When I first heard it, I was like, yeah, it felt like hearing a dope rap lyric for the first time. It was like, yeah, that's a bar. You was like, he went, it was Steph, I think. He was like, he went deep into his bag like it was fries at the bottom.
Oh,
fries.
I was like,
yeah, man, first heard that, I was like, we got 8 miles over here. We got it right here. I can just see you with a notepad, like right around. Like,
you know what it is, guys? It's that energy. Like Darren Fox got mad the other day at Sohan when we were playing San Antonio, and he had that look in his, that crazed look in his eye, like he was going to go at him. And I said, oh, Darren got that black Air Force One air energy, you know? So, like, it's that, you know, I sit here, I watch NBA games with my wife and my kids, and I'm that dude that talks to the TV screen, you know? You know, sometimes, you know, folks at the movies, you talk to them, hey, drop the gun, what are you going to do now? You know, I see a good play, and I talk to the screen, so that's the way I call the game. It's got to be fun.
Bro, it's so fun. I'm so happy that you're, you know, having this great, I don't even know what to call it, third act, you know, you know what I mean? Where you can just enjoy it, be a team that's winning, and there's nothing better when a team's winning. There's just nothing better, you know, and so I'm glad that you get to like really enjoy it, because Marcus is exactly right. When you do games nationally, like you have no rooting interest. Like I know people think you do, but you really don't. You just want to get out and get to the car. That's what you're trying to do. Wrap it up so we can get to the bar before last call.
I got a flight to catch. Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? So it's not personal. There's no but it's not personal. That's the point. It's not personal. You just do the game and you go home, right? But it's different when it's your team. And so I'm just so glad that you've got a great squad that you're getting to have an opportunity.
And you know
man.
What's great about their broadcast, DA? Like Katie is like a savage, yo. Like,
dude, I love Katie. She is great. Like,
Katie
she
going
brings it.
Next, like,
you know what I'm saying? I love listening to her.
It's incredible. Yeah, Katie's not playing. But, you know, Katie is a hooper too, right? So she already know what's up. But
exactly. Right, exactly.
She will call it out. She go out to refs. She go out like somebody make a crazy play. She call it. It's two great. Of you are like call. A great pairing because, like, she would be upset. Like, yeah, no, that's not a good shot. Like, I don't know why he took that.
That's great, man. Well, look, Jody, man, best of luck, man. Continued success, man. I really thank you for helping me at the beginning, man. It wasn't even like working with you. So it was great fun. And I'm glad we're still here, Jonesy. Can you believe
it? We're here, man. God is good,
top
man.
Shelf, baby. Top shelf at the top of the game.
You know what I mean?
OG.
We're still here. So leave that 5-star review, y'all, on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Now, Marcus, if they can't leave the 5 stars, what they need to do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. Mark Jones gonna get 50 cent on you.
Later.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.